Let us pray. Search us, O Lord. We praise you that you know us. And as we look at this beautiful psalm, teach us more about you and how you love us and care for us. Amen. I don't know about you, but I, as a minister, find Christmas quite difficult at times. For example, I like coming to church, but let me tell you, this is my 10th service in just over a week, and 10 services, church services, is probably just a little bit too much for anyone to cope with, I would suggest. Now, Marge saw a comment on Facebook from a minister's wife who said, next year, because it's a leap year, Christmas Day will be on a Sunday. Yes! And ministers and ministers' wives really appreciate that, let me tell you, because 10 serves a bit much. Now, I'm not quite as bad as this guy. I don't actually hate Christmas too much, but I do find it a little bit difficult at times. Now, some of the reasons are is we just had a huge Christmas outreach walk through Bethlehem, which we had 1,100 to 1,200 people come, which was just fantastic. And there you can see a hot and tired innkeeper standing down there just directing people into the stable. Then we had, I think not unassociated with walk through Bethlehem, is we had our biggest Christmas services ever, I think. We had two on Christmas Eve, two on Christmas Day, and they were just packed and it was just wonderful. This is my 12th Christmas here, and for every year except two of them, I've actually been the preacher. But this year I decided I wouldn't be the preacher, and Matthew did such an excellent job. And for the second time in 12 years, I haven't preached. But it did mean that I had to lead services, and I led three of the four services, and Marge led the other service brilliantly. But it was quite a busy time. So what happens after Christmas Day? And I hardly got any sleep between finishing at 11 o'clock, then getting back here at Christmas Day. We had a simple lunch. We didn't have too complex. We didn't eat too much, which was a bit unusual. And we went back. And do you know what the thing I did after we'd eaten lunch? I did my favourite thing at Christmas is this. I went to sleep for a few hours. But the thing was, because I actually didn't preach at Christmas, I preached last Sunday and then I had to preach for today. So on Christmas night, I got up and started to do more preparation for today. And then yesterday I did as well. Now, we are doing a series on the book of Psalms. And let me let in with a bit of secret. Unlike the rest of my family, see, our kids follow Marge. Marge loves poetry and they love poetry. I find poetry difficult. I've never been interested a lot in poetry. So the poetical parts of the Bible, I find I've really got to work hard to understand them. But when I do, there's some great rewards. So we're looking at the book of Psalms. And it's good to look at the book of Psalms. The Psalms actually are part of the Old Testament, a large part. They're actually the book that's quoted most in the New Testament. And the Psalms are God's songbook. The Psalms are very valuable. You know what they do, I reckon? They refresh our soul. And yesterday, as I was looking at this psalm, I felt refreshed after a busy Christmas. And that's great. And I hope you are refreshed today. You see, they help us to keep centered and focused on God. The Psalms are brilliant in the way they poetically and elegantly give us core biblical truths. But they do it in the context of prayer and praise. In contrast to some of the other parts of the Bible where it's doctrine, teaching, or narrative, this is prayer and praise, teaching biblical truths. Thinking about Psalms, I reckon they're really relevant because, especially at this time of year, but also in the rest of the year, we can lose our way at times. Some of us go through midlife crises. Well, I went through one a few years ago. But sometimes we can just find that we are lonely. We just find life really tough. at other times, and especially at Christmas, we can be really missing a loved one. We can miss a parent, a spouse, even a child who's no longer with us. And it can be really tough. I want to say to us all this question. Do we get disappointed sometimes in life? I have found reading through this book really helpful. It's called God is Enough, and it's by Ray Galea. And it's about his favourite Psalms. God is Enough, Refocusing Your Life. Ray was a year ahead of Marge and myself at Moore College. He's now the senior minister at Rudy Hill Anglican Church, which is a multicultural Bible ministry church. He's actually visited our church. He was here last year as a groomsman at a wedding of a guy who's getting married because his first wife had died. The second marriage, he was groomsman there in our church, which was great to see him. I've been using this book, and it's really helpful. And some of the Bible study group's been working our way through it. If I say something that's profound and insightful, it probably comes from Ray, because I reckon it's just so good. Ray has said this book, the book of Psalms, for him was really helpful. And his favourite verse in the Psalms is, I'll get to it in a minute. I'm just going to tell you, this is actually our program. I forgot to say this. You'll find this on the back of the Mac update. We're following his selection of favourite Psalms. And you see I'm doing 139. Then we're going to work our way through. I'll do next week as well. Then Stuart will do one. Then Matthew a couple. Then me another one. So you can sort of preview your way ahead. And you'll see there's some titles there. His favourite verse in the Psalms is this. Psalm 73 verse 25 says, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire beside you. Talking, of course, about God. So, of course, he can call his book God is Enough. The Psalms are comforting and encouraging. So let's turn to Psalm 139. The one who knows all. That's what is the title that Ray gave it to us. And the first section, verses 1 to 6, is the great know-it-all. I'm going to be putting some pictures that I found on the internet that have gone with various verses in the Psalms. Not every verse, but just a few. And I'm going to read them to us. And you might, sometimes they're in slightly different versions from the Bible, but the meaning is all the same. And you might like to just reflect on the pictures and the words especially. So let's look at verses 1 and 2. You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. God knows us. You know, we as people like to be known. I think all of us want to be known. I remember when I first started going to church regularly, we used to have supper in the church afterwards, so the minister tried to get to know people. He used to stand at the door and shake hands as people came in. And for many months, I was sure he knew me by sight, but he didn't know my name. So I kept sort of suggesting, my name's Richard, and wore my name tag and stuff. Now, he knows me now, and I still know him, and he knows me well now. But it was, I can understand his problem, because it was a fairly large church. And in this church, we are fairly large. And I try and get to know everybody's name, but I'm not that good at it. And sometimes I meet people and I've said their name a few times and I just it's gone out of my mind. And sometimes even, I don't know about you, this is especially to the older people here, but I see somebody that I've known for ages and I sort of think, what? I just forgot. Oh, yeah, Graham, that is it. Jeff, yeah. Do you know the experience? You know somebody, but it's just gone. So if I have forgotten your name, or I don't know your name, please ring me up, make a time to see me. I want to get to know as many people as possible. Or invite me to your place. I would love to get to know people better. But in a fairly large church of 350, 400 people, it's hard to get to know everybody. I am a fallible person. I can't get everybody's name exactly right. But in contrast to that, the Lord God Almighty, knows each and every one of us intimately. He knows us. Verses 1 to 6, let's have a look up on the screen. And there are some verbs that are repeated, which shows that God's explaining this through the author. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. Know me for the second time. Know me. And then four times in six verses, knowledge. Then some other words. God searches us. God perceives us. God discerns us. God is familiar with us. Those references show the repetition that God knows each and every one of us. Look at verse 4. God actually knows our thoughts before we actually say things. God is all-knowing. The technical word for this is omniscience. Omniscient, that's right. I got it wrong. Omniscient. God is all-knowing. God knows everything. Knowing one person really well is difficult. But think about this. God knows 6.5 billion of us intimately. He knows us all well. We should praise the Lord for that. Isn't it incredible? Doesn't it blow your mind? You know, thinking about knowing things, before I was a minister, I worked in an office supply company. And one of the jobs I had for a few months, I worked there for a couple of years, was delivering photocopiers. And I used to deliver photocopies with this other guy. And because we actually were in a van and then we had to carry them in and then install them in various places, I got to know him fairly well. And his name was Craig. And he told me as we were driving around about his previous occupation. He was a criminal. He told me he did a couple of things. One stage he was selling dope. He was selling marijuana, making thousands of dollars a week. And then it got a bit hot for him. The police got onto him and he had to stop. Then to support his continuing drug habit, he actually then started stealing things. And then he got caught again and he got off with a good behaviour bond and then he gave up the drugs and gave up. But he still had a criminal sort of mindset. I had an example of this one day. We were carrying this photocopier into a place and we're going past a stairwell. And in the stairwell was a brand new television still in its wrapping. And he said to me, I'll have that when we come back. And I knew his past and I thought, yeah, he will. I was trying to think, what am I going to say to him? I said to him as we're carrying this thing, why? He said, well, who will know? And I said, I will know. Then I was thinking, well, if he was here by himself and he was carrying something smaller, he would have taken the television. And in his mind, who would know? But who would know? God would know. That's what our psalm is saying. God knows everything. God is intimately connected with our lives. He knows all the bad things, but he knows all the good things, and he knows us well. So if you're lonely and you're thinking, who knows me? The answer is, God knows me. God knows us intimately. The psalm reminds us of this comforting and wonderful truth that God knows us. Secondly, verses 7 to 12 talk about how there is no place to hide. Let me read to us verses 7 to 12. Where can I go? Trying to compete. If we could just shut that would be really helpful. Thank you. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea. Even then your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me. This psalm is written by King David. David mentions how we cannot escape God. God is present everywhere. We've mentioned that God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. Now the second big word for the day, omnipresent. God is present everywhere. And even in this area, look at verse 11 and 12. Let me read them to us. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, the night is bright as the day, for darkness is of light with you. Even in the darkness, God knows us. Therefore, there is no distinction between what we do in private and what we do in public, because God sees both. God is known, God is everywhere. But these thoughts are not meant to condemn us. They're meant to comfort us. Just imagine you're alone in bed and you feel really alone, even if you've got a spouse next to you. But if you're alone in bed and you're crying, we can remember and cling to the fact that God knows us and God is with us. And God says to us through this psalm, I know you. I know your pain. I understand you. And I am there with you, comforting you. Then in the next section, we see that God knows David even as he is being conceived. You created, verse 13, my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God fashions us in the womb. He knows us before we know ourselves. Whether conception is the result of a one-night stand or something that happens in a committed married relationship, loving relationship, it is God who fashions us. God plans to make us. That is why abortion is so tragic. It denies God's creative purpose in the life of the unborn. Now, there are probably people here that may have had abortions or that may have known somebody that has. It's not the unforgivable sin. However, God's preference, his plan, is for conception and then babies to be born. It's good to remember it is his plan to create life. And he knows us from conception. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. So we should be praising God for the fact that he's created us. Think about it. How did I put together this slideshow? I used a computer. And then we're using another computer to show it. Computers are complex, but they are a great aid to us. I sometimes astound the younger ministers by saying I actually started doing ministry before the internet. And the sort of blank look, how could you do ministry without email? I said we sort of use different things. But computers, most of us are familiar with them. They are complex. And we just marvel at what they can do. But the way we are made leaves computers for dead. We are made perfectly. The way we are made is complex, and we should praise God for how he makes us. Verse 16 says this, you saw me before I was born. Every day my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. God has plans for our life. And God knows everything about us. Verses 17 and 18. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. God knows us. I want us to ask the question, therefore, are we satisfied with that? Because we should be. Look at verse 73, Psalm 73, verse 25 again. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth I desire but you. God should satisfy all our needs and desires. And it's great to be reminded of that. Well, the first three sections of the psalm do this. And then in section four, there's a U-turn. In this section, David is upset at the wickedness of people. Let me read to us verses 19 and 20. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversities misuse their name. Your name. Those who speak with God of evil intent, David is upset with. They are people who do not acknowledge God, that God is everywhere. They do not acknowledge that God is all-knowing. David is upset with people because he is jealous for God's glory. You see, in the Old Testament, though, the enemies of God were equated with the enemies of Israel. But in the New Testament, it's different. The enemies of God are redefined as those who glory in sin. We're told by Jesus, love our enemies. Love our enemies, but hate the sin. We're reminded in that New Testament reading from Revelation chapter 6, there'll be a day, the last day, when God will judge and hold people to account for how they've treated him. We are not to judge. God is the one who judges. This picture of God's judgment is awful. Imagine meeting God and being unforgiven. It's a nightmare that never ends. We can be comforted in the fact that God's judgments are just and that he is a righteous judge. This psalm, though, is written for those who are within the circle of faith. Those who believe in Jesus. Now, if you don't believe in Jesus, if you're not sure about it, then have we got a course for you? We talked about this Christmas services, the life of Jesus. I'm running it tomorrow night, six Mondays, going to the end of January. If you can't make it every night, that's fine. We can do makeup things. If you want to do some study of the historical background to the Bible, this is a great course to come. No matter how long you've been coming to church, just come and see me today or ring me and come along tomorrow night. Because it's good to understand who Jesus is. Because God's Son, Jesus, reveals God perfectly. And in this psalm, we see that it is impossible to keep secrets from God. Have a look at the last two verses. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, God knows how we live. He knows our sins. But he wants us to understand and acknowledge them. David's calling in these verses, God, let me be more aware of the things I've done wrong. Let's just return to the thinking about computers again. You know, if you type on the computer a word that's wrong and the spell check puts a little red line under it, it's illuminating our errors. Well, David's asking God to illuminate the errors in our own lives and to make us more aware of our sins. And then we are to confess and repent of our sins. Repent means trying not to do them anymore. Confess is saying, God, I am sorry, I have sinned against you. Once we confess of our sins, and God knows what they are, but he wants us to confess and to repent, God actually staples our sin to the Son, his Son who is dead upon the cross. And then he remembers our sins no more. They'll never be held against us. That is God's grace, his wondrous grace. They'll never be used against us again. But God wants us to search our lives, to confess our sins, to repent of them. God knows us. I'm going to conclude by reading through again and putting up the pictures up on the screen of the psalm, some of the key parts of it. As I read through them, you might like to just meditate on these words. And remember, God is all-knowing. God is all-present. God will punish his enemies. And God wants us to confess our sins and repent of them. Let's read parts of the psalm again. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. 7-10, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even then your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for the darkness is as light with you. And then 13 and 14. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. If only you, God, would slay the wicked, away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversities misuse your name. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is an offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen.